What's up, Tony Talks fam? It's your favorite podcast host coming at you with another fire episode. Since the last time I've done an episode, so much has happened. I had a birthday on September the 17th, and y'all, guess what? I got engaged on September the 19th. On a boat in Philly. It was bomb, y'all. I'm going to share a story with y'all today. And with the story that I'm going to share, I'm going to tell you all how I transitioned into my hashtag soft girl era. All right. And of course, I'm going to talk about God. All right. But before that, give me my theme music.
I feel like Oprah.
My mic sound nice.
Oh, Tony Talks is on the radio.
Check one. My mic sound nice.
My girl Tony, stay coming with the looks. You hear me?
Check two. My mic sound nice.
Tony Talks is that girl.
Turning out without a doubt. Make no mistake. Queens is in the house. Yeah, check it out. Check it out.
Yo, you gotta be quiet. Tony Talks is on.
I'm a soft girl. I'm a soft girl. I'm a soft girl. Hashtag soft girl era. Somebody put me in the studio because that was pretty good. The way people making music these days, that's a hit. I could hit number one in no time on the charts, for real. All right, so what is a soft girl? Some of you may ask, like, what is a soft girl era? Now, I'm going to put my own definition on this. I didn't Google anything, but for me, when I started seeing people talking about, you know, I'm a soft girl, I'm in my soft girl era, I was like, that ain't me, because I'm definitely not a soft girl, but I really want to be. Like, I desperately wanted to be a soft girl. Now, to me, a soft girl is a woman who is fully operating in her femininity, who is secure enough in herself to do that, and who also feels secure enough in her relationship to let her guard down and let the man be the man and her be the woman and operate in that. Now, a lot of times us women, I'm sure you all can relate, a lot of you can relate, when we're in a relationship, we find ourselves playing the role of the man a lot because, let's just be honest, a lot of these men weren't raised by fathers in their household, and so they don't have the examples of what a man should be. And us women, it's like we all automatically have this mindset of what we think a man should be, and so we end up playing that role for ourselves because we don't feel like our man can do it. But I let that go, baby. I let the man be the man. And I am operating now fully in my femininity. Yes, it took some time. It took some growth on both parts, me and my now fiance. It took us to mature, to grow together, separately, all of that. But I have arrived, baby. Soft girl era over here. I'm really excited. And the story that I want to share with you all is going to blow some of your minds. And I hope that when you hear this story, you know that God is real, because he proved to me, he keeps proving to me over and over, and he ain't even got to, because I already know you real God, that he's down for your girl. I love that for me. I love God so much. I don't ever want him to stop talking to me. So I'm gonna tell y'all this story. November 2023. Me and Terrence, that's my fiance, in case y'all ain't know. Me and Terrence, we got into an argument. In the argument, we hadn't argued in a while at this point. And the argument seemed too familiar. Like, the way that we were arguing, it was like toxic. And I was like, you know what? I'm not about to take steps back with you. I'm not about to do this. And so I was like, let's just be done. I was always quick to say that, like, let's just be done, because I just don't like spending too much time if I don't feel like anything's changing. And the thing is, things had changed, and it was just like, I had a guard up, and I was, at any mild inconvenience, I was like, I want out. That's just how I was. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be with you. Like, let's just stop. And so that's what we did. The thing is, you know, Terrence, I would still have to see him almost every day because he was taking me to work. So it was just like, I can't even grieve. I can't even grieve right. Like, I need some space. And that annoyed me, but whatever. So we were in this argument, and it was just one day I was just feeling sad because, like, he wasn't sad enough for me. So I was just like, why is he not, like, sad that I ain't with him? And so I remember being at home that day, and I was in my room. I was at home by myself, and I was doing some homework, and I was just feeling like, you know what? I need a crying session. Like, I was like, I'm about to cry. I planned a whole crying session, y'all. This is some girl stuff, but yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm about to put all this up. I'm about to lay here in the dark and I'm going to cry. Now, I got to give y'all a backstory. That same day, I had reached out to an older cousin of mine and asked him for some help with paying my mom's taxes on her house. My mom passed away. She was behind on her taxes on her house, and it got to be over $2,000. And so it was just me and my sister who were trying to get this together, but with the job I had and the job she had, we weren't able to get it all in the time frame that we needed because they needed taxes paid on the house right away for this program that we were in to rebuild my mom's house. And so I was like, okay, I know we can pay this, but I can't pay it all right now in this time frame that they gave us. And so I was like, let me reach out to our older cousin and ask if he can help us in any way. And so I did that earlier that day. And so back to me trying to cry. When I lay down, turn the lights off, I get a phone call from my cousin. I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna have to cry after this. We're talking on the phone, catching up with each other, and he's asking me about, you know, my mom's taxes on her house and the real rebuild program that we were in to rebuild her house. I was giving him all the facts. We ended the conversation with, I'm gonna give you a call tomorrow to see what I can do, okay? And I was like, okay, we ended the conversation. I put the phone down. I lay back down, turn the light off so I can cry. Okay? So I lay down, y'all, and no lie, I hear a voice. I hear a voice saying, pray for him. And I started looking around like, was that in my head? And I was like, pray for him. And the voice was like, pray for him. And I was like, pray for who? And the voice, this voice said, pray for your husband. And I was like, I know you're not talking about Terrence. I know you're not talking about Terrence. I know you ain't telling me to pray for this man who I'm upset with at the moment. And the voice, it was so soft. It was so soft. It wasn't yelling at me. And it just kept saying, pray for him. And so I'm still thinking that this is in my head, y'all. Like, I'm still trying to lay down and cry, but the voice keeps saying, pray for him. And so I'm like, okay. I get up and I get on the floor on my knees. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. When I do speak, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about my hurt, talking about how he ain't this, he ain't that. And then I stopped myself because I realized what I was doing. I was talking about me when the voice didn't tell me to talk about me. It told me to pray for him. And so I pause for a while because I can't seem to find the words to say. And then out of nowhere, I'm just crying. I mean, bawling, crying like you would have thought someone died. I'm crying. And then the words begin to come to me and I begin to pray for Terrence. And I'm praying for him. And as I'm praying, I hear that same voice say to me, what do you want me to do in him for you? And I'm like, whoa. Is this really happening? And so as I'm praying, I'm naming things that I want the Holy Spirit to do in Terrence. Now, another backstory, years ago when Terrence and I were first like really together, we were like maybe 2 years in on and off. Very toxic at the time. I remember I was staying with my mom at the time in Lumberton, and I wrote prayers on pieces of paper and taped them to my wall. And these prayers were prayers for Terrence. They were prayers that said, you know, God, make him into the man that you would have him to be. This was back in like 2016, 2017. I'm like, God, make him into the man that you would have him to be, because I always saw the potential. And you know how they say, you know, it's dangerous to be with a person that you see potential in who isn't operating fully in that. But it's like, I saw it, y'all. I saw it for so long. And I was just like, you know what? I got to go to God about this, because there's nothing I can do to change this man. Only God can do this. So that's when I started putting prayers on my wall for him. And now here we are in 2023, and this voice is like, okay, What do you want me to do? And so as I'm praying, the voice was like, God was like, okay, what else? And I'm going, I'm praying. And the voice was like, okay, what else? And I'm like, I'm so in awe. I've never prayed like that before. I mean, I was just like, wow, is this really coming out of my mouth? Is this voice really talking? Is God? Now, this was my first time ever hearing God's voice, y'all. Now, when God speaks to me, it's always like, I always have these real intense, deep feelings that won't go away or will continuously come back. But this was, I'm hearing a voice and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. It was so crazy. Now, when I got up off the floor, God was like, now I need you to write everything down that just happened. As I'm writing down in my journal what had happened, y'all, I get a text message from my cousin who I was just on the phone with when I was trying to cry. I get a text message from him telling me to check my email. I check my email and him and his wife paid up all the taxes on my mom's house. And I'm like, well, I'll be. And so I'm like, now, if I wasn't obedient to the voice, to God telling me to get down and pray for my husband, Terrence, would that had happened? I was just like, wow, like, wow. I mean, like, wow. Like, this is, wow. It was just so amazing to me. And I wrote in my journal everything that had happened. And I couldn't do anything but praise God. And y'all, I didn't want to cry no more. I did not want to cry anymore. That was maybe on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. I go to work the next day. This was when I was still working at Beasley. I go to work and I always started my day off with, well, I still do. I start my day off with reading the Bible or like watching a sermon on YouTube or something. And so that day I was like, you know, I was still feeling a little sad because I prayed for this man, but we still weren't together. And he's, you know, not my husband, but I prayed for him as my husband, right? I am going to work. I was like, I need a word from God. I need a word from God that will feel like it's just for me. And so when I go on YouTube, I come across this sermon that Sarah Jakes Roberts had just done like maybe 4 days before that. No, I'm lying. It wasn't her. It was actually T.D. Jakes. And as I was listening to the sermon, y'all, it was like, wow. As I was listening to the sermon, I just had this sudden urge. I need to be baptized. Now, I had been baptized before when I was younger, like maybe 9 years old, but that was, you know, kind of, I was forced to do that. You know how our parents were like, you're going to get baptized. You don't even know what you're doing. That's how it was. And so I had this sudden urge, like, I need to be baptized again. Now I had rededicated my life. Both Terrence and I had rededicated our lives to Christ in July of that year, of July, 2023, I believe it was. I was like, I need to be baptized. As I'm thinking that to myself, T.D. Jakes literally says the same thing. He was like, some of y'all are being renewed in Christ and you're going through, he was saying like, you're going through this new journey with Christ and he's preparing you for the next level. And he was like, some of y'all need to be baptized. And I was like, what? This man? Okay. The sermon was really great. I can't even remember the name of the sermon, but it was like, yes, that word was for me. At my church, they do baptisms every first Sunday of the month. The Sunday that we were coming up on was actually the second Sunday of the month. So they had already done baptisms for the month of November. I was like, whenever I had the thought of I need to get baptized, I was like, well, I missed it for this month. But this thought came back to my memory where we had received a message from the church. Like, we get messages during the week to remind us of services and things going on. And I remember that our pastor sent out a message saying that the Lord had placed on his heart to run baptisms back for the second week in November. And I was like, wow, that, yes, this is my time. Like, that hasn't happened before in the time that I have been at Mark. So I'm like, wow, God spoke to me to get baptized. I missed the first baptism for the month of November, but God spoke to my pastor and told him to run it back because God spoke to his heart and said, people need to be baptized. There are more people that need to be baptized in this month, in this moment, right now. And so that Sunday, that Sunday comes along, before I go to church, I spend some time in my room praying. I pray and I ask God to fill the church with his Holy Spirit. I was like, God, I want your Holy Spirit to fall in the place. I want to experience your Holy Spirit. I just want a deeper relationship with you. In that same moment, as I was praying, I also prayed for God to soften my heart. I was like, God, I literally cried out to him. I'm on my knees praying, y'all. I'm praying for the service. I'm praying for that, for his Holy Spirit to fall in the service that day. And I pray and I'm like, God, please renew my heart, soften my heart. I'm like, God, I want to be a soft girl. I literally said that, y'all. When I get to church, when I step foot in church, y'all, I just felt God immediately. Now, when you're getting baptized, they allow you like time to like sit in the back and meditate and like do whatever you need to do to prepare yourself for what you're about to do, because what you're about to be reborn. You're about to be dipped in the water and you're about to come up a new person in Christ. I'm sitting in the back and I just feel God all over me. I'm crying. It's a sweet feeling. It was overwhelmingly sweet. It's time for the service to start. And we could still sit back there if we wanted to, but I wanted to go out into the service and partake in the worship service out there. And that's what I did. And when I say that God was in the building, the Holy Spirit was there, it fell in the room. I mean, whoa. All you hear were people crying out to God, and the sound was just like, whoa, it just sounded so beautiful. And I'm worshiping and I'm praising and I'm just like, wow, I'm just thanking God. So it's time for the baptisms. I get baptized. I come up a new person. I'm feeling great, like, wow, I did this thing, right? Once you get baptized, you go back into the back and there are people who are there back there praying for you. And I remember when I got back there, this guy, Mr. Rich, he was praying with me and he was asking me how I was feeling. And he was just telling me about how I'm new and I'm going to experience so much from God and how this is just an amazing journey that I'm about to partake on. And his wife was praying for another girl who had got baptized, but she stopped. Once she was done, she came over to me and she was like, God is talking to me right now. And he wants me to tell you that he's softening your heart right now. Y'all, this lady said, God told her to tell me that God was softening my heart right now. She was like, you've been hurt. You've gone through so much, but God is softening your heart right now and it's going to be okay. I'm like, I don't know if I could cry anymore. I'm crying again because I literally just prayed for God to soften my heart that same morning. And God was like, I got you. And I've been in awe. That happened in November and I'm still not over it, because it didn't take time after that for God to soften my heart. I began operating in my soft girl era immediately. The way that I talked began to change. Me and Terrence, we ended up getting back together. Our language changed. He changed. And I was like, wow. And I mean, I don't mean like, oh yeah, he made some changes. I mean, no, he changed. You would have thought this man was raised in the church, Holy Ghost filled from a young age. Like, the changes that took place in his life and my life was like, you would have thought it happened overnight. But God had been preparing us for this. And I'm really speechless in this moment, just retelling this story, because God is so good. And I think about the things that I was doing before I came back to God. And I'm like, man, he didn't even have to save me, but he did. He didn't have to pull me out of what I was in, but he did. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he has been preparing me to be a wife and has allowed me to operate in this softness that I just love so much. I love it. I love it so much. I'm so grateful for the things that he has done in Terrence's life. Prayers that I've prayed years ago have come into fruition. And I'm so excited for what he is going to do with us next. And so now your girl is engaged. I don't know if I would have been engaged before, not when I wasn't a soft girl, because your girl was a little rough. I mean, rough, like
every time we argue, I want to fight. I used to pull up to Terrence's mama's house and tell him to come outside because I want you to fight me right here in the grass. I mean, some of you wouldn't believe that because you probably were like, you're so nice. But some of y'all don't know me for real. Because, yeah, I might be quiet at times, but like those are the ones you got to watch out for, I guess. But man, the changes that have been made, and I'm a fiance now, I feel ready. I know I'm ready. I began talking about marriage for the first time this year because I didn't think I wanted that. I didn't think I was capable of being in a lifelong commitment with someone. I always felt better knowing that I could like get out anytime. And with marriage, that's, I ain't trying to, this is a lifelong thing. I'm trying to be married forever and ever and ever. So I'm just so in awe. And I wanted to share that story with y'all in case anybody is going through what I've gone through with struggling to operate in their femininity, operate in their womanhood. Like, you can do it. And it starts with me. It obviously started with me going to God, giving my life back to God and allowing him to do a work in me that I couldn't do in myself because I tried myself. I tried to be soft before and it never worked. But when I became new in Christ, he was like, all right, now is the time. I got you. And I just love that. So yeah, I'm encouraging you to give your life to God, become new with God because he wants that for you just as much as you want it for yourself. But you can't do it yourself, especially when you've had a lifetime of just being how you are. Allow God to make that change for you because it's going to be too hard for you to do that. I'm a soft girl, and this is my hashtag, Soft Girl Era.